and welcome to the New Schools Podcast. 6 years ago, Elon Musk started an experimental school within SpaceX. One of the programs in that school, which was only available to a handful of SpaceX families, was named Synthesis. Our guest today, Chris Minfrank, is the CEO and co-founder of that program, which is now an enrichment club open to kids everywhere, teaching complex problem solving and decision making through online games. You can see for yourself at synthesis.is, and there are direct links in the show notes. Before he co-founded Synthesis, Chrisman was engineer number one at Class Dojo, a K-12 network that reaches approximately 30 million teachers, students, and families every month. Today we'll learn about the impact of COVID on online learning, how the team at Synthesis designs games to encourage learning, and what any of this has to do with jiu-jitsu. As they say at Synthesis, embrace the chaos. Here's Shannon Falkenstein of Acton Academy El Salvador and Chris Minfrank.
Hello, Chris Minfrank, and welcome to the New Schools Podcast. Thank you so much for being on with us today. I can't wait for you to share all about Synthesis School with our audience.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. So always ask first, like, what is your personal favorite thing about working with young learners?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I guess this is kind of oddly abstract. It's like if you get to someone when they're young, they just have so much room in front of them. I always think this when I discover new ideas, like I've discovered like new ideas that I think are sort of critically, like foundationally important in my 30s. And it's exciting to get that little missing piece of reality, but you're also like, ooh, like I just should have gotten this in early. Like, I'll give you one example. Like I read How to Win Friends and Influence People when I was like 18, I was in college. Cause I was just like really shy. I had a really, really tough time in social situations. And I read that book and it was like, okay, well, you just figured out the rules and then I could handle situations like much better. And it's like, yeah, someone just should have told me that when I was like 7.
Right?
Really basic stuff. And so the for me, it's like kind of like this abstract thing of like, you can get these. I had this realization when I was young, like the ideas are like the most powerful thing, like that your ideas that you have, like make up your philosophy and like determine how you live your life. And so That's really interesting. And it's just like a great, responsibility and privilege to kind of, think about what are the ideas that are really important that you want to get to these kids when they're young so that they kind of have a whole lifetime to, live them out. So that's it for me. What is it for you?
For me, what I love so much about kids is that I feel like they have their priorities straight. Like the number one thing they want to do is have a great time. They just want to laugh. Yeah. They want to have fun. Like my kids are always telling me, Mom, did you know that kids laugh like 500 times a day and adults only laugh like 3 times a day? And that's just sad,
I wonder how much of that is like normal school, just kind of like grinding you down a little bit, preparing you for the work world.
Right.
I wonder if we didn't have school, if the adults would just be the same way. Or
that's a good question, right? Yeah, so that's my favorite thing. I feel like whenever I'm taking things too seriously, I can just go down and like hang out with them and be like, okay, it's not totally that serious. Like, let's just have a great time,
Yeah, so I would say too, just like being in the when we first started like reviewing the applications for Synthesis or when I'd go to the sessions, it's just like if you're you read the news and it's like kind of doom and gloom about the world in the future. Like when you're with the kids, you're like, oh man, things are going to be better. Things are going to be great. These kids they're incredible. And the future is going to be in good hands, I think.
Definitely. They're far more capable than most people believe. So tell us about Synthesis School. Like give us the elevator pitch.
Yeah. The elevator pitch is, I guess it like fits in it's like better to tell the story, right?
Okay.
So my co-founder Josh was a teacher. He was a Teach for America teacher. So he was in inner cities like Las Vegas and teaching at low income schools. And he got recruited by Merman School for the Gifted in LA. And Elon Musk's kids went there. And Elon walked into his classroom one day and was like, "Hey, I don't really agree with, you know, the traditional school thing. I want to just start my own school at SpaceX. Can you start it for me?" And so Josh was like, "Yeah, of course. That sounds like an amazing opportunity." And so Josh started that school with him. And I came down to visit at the SpaceX campus like 3 years later. And I'd done like a little tour, and then it was lunch and recess time. And so we were outside eating lunch. This is California. It's beautiful weather. And some of the kids are playing dodgeball. Another group of kids are inside around this table shouting these really complex sounding arguments at each other. And I was like, turning to the teacher next to me. I was like, what is going on here? And she was like, sorry, that's just synthesis class. The kids get kind of obsessed with it. And I was like, this is a school thing? Like, this is something for school. I've just never seen kids so engaged about anything for school, much less anything like so complex. And so she explained to me that, you know, when Elon started the school, one of his core principles was you should teach to the problem, not to the tools. So normal school would teach you, you know, a course on wrenches, a course on screwdrivers, et cetera. And he thought the way you should do it is give kids an engine to take apart, and then they have to learn how to use a wrench. And so learning the tools becomes much more meaningful that way. And so Josh had taken that concept and created these games and simulations to be the problems, and then added this team sports element to it. And so you get the kind of collaboration that, you know, humans are naturally drawn to within your team, and then the competitive aspect across the teams. And so when I was seeing this, it was 3 years into the kids having this kind of training, and their arguments, their I would say their analysis and their communication skills were just absolutely remarkable. I was working at Class Dojo at the time, which is like one of the fastest growing education startups, one of the fastest growing startups really ever. And, you know, pretty high pressure, very like complex environment. And these kids would just fit right in. They were communicating and analyzing it like at a level that was like some of our top people. And I think the oldest of these kids was like 13. And so I was like, this is the future of education. This is amazing. My son was 2 at the time. And I was just like, I have to get him I have to get him educated in this way, or he's just going to be at a major disadvantage. But, Josh was just, Josh was working for Elon at the time, like not really able to take on any side projects or anything. But when the pandemic hit and shut down the schools, that also happened to be the time that Elon's kids were graduating. And so we started talking about toying around with the idea of doing like a version of synthesis online, so that you didn't have to be, you know, a billionaire with your own rocket company to get this kind of education. You know, you could make it more accessible. And primary goal is just get it for my own kids. And, the easiest way to do that was actually like start a company with it, like enroll other people as well, and make it more accessible to the world. So yeah, that's what we've done. So the elevator pitch back to that is kind of learning through games, tackling the skill. The most valuable skill in the world is our ability to solve complex problems together. It's the most valuable for the individual, and those are the best jobs, the best careers. And it's the most valuable for the civilization. So Elon is kind of like the poster boy for this, right? He's the richest guy, and he's arguably done more for civilization than anyone else alive. And so that's the skill that we're trying to confer. And the beauty of it is it's done through games. And so the kids are really engaged with it. It's fun. And there's this element, the team sports element means you just keep driving further and further. It's not like the kids are doing it to get a grade, right? They're not like, okay, that's good enough, we'll get a B. Like, no, they want to win. And so their skills just kind of keep spiraling upward. And that's what I saw when I went to the school, was just like, wow, the level that they get to in a few short years of doing this is incredible. And so I was just super passionate about that, and really, you know, decided I was going to just work with Josh however I could to get his ideas out into the world.
That's a great story. Thank you for telling us about that and how it all came about. I really relate to doing something like going like, I want this for my kids. Like, that's how I felt about acting, and just like, how can I do this? Like, get a community together who also wants it and build the thing. And It's really exciting. And I love what you said. That's like, what did you say? That solving complex problems together mm-hmm. is like the greatest skill on earth. Yeah. I love it. Love it. Love it. And when, you know, so full disclosure, like I also am working at Synthesis very part-time. I'm training as a facilitator. Absolutely love it. My kids have been in it since like October and they absolutely love it. And they've been through two of the game rounds. So they were in Constellation and then they did Art for All. And now they're just starting on Fire. So, oh, awesome. Yeah, there it's really great. They're always like, do we have Synthesis tonight? You know, and the facilitators are amazing. So, but I remember in one of the early kind of parent meetings where you and Ana Favrega talked to us, you told us about how you had had this vision kind of like an Ender's Game type situation where they keep like leveling up and leveling up, right? And learning like all these more complex skills to be able to like save the world basically. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, Ender's Game, for those who haven't read it, is it's a science fiction novel and it's about a civilization that's facing an existential threat from alien invasion. And what they do is they set up an academy for their kids because they realize the adults are not going to be up to the task, right? The young minds are like more flexible, right? And they need kids to be trained this way from when they're very young. And they set up this academy and it's based on games. There's something called Battle School. And, you know, the kids basically compete on teams. And whenever they master one level of Battle School, you just move up a level. And so you move up in competition and you move up in the complexity of the games. Until, you know, that eventually they've, these games are very much like the scenarios they're going to be facing with the alien. So there's this kind of like smooth transition from the academy and the games that you're playing to, you know, the real life mission that you're going to be doing. So yeah, when I saw Synthesis at Ad Astra, that's what popped into my head. Like, that's like, it's, this is Ender's Game for, you know, not for defeating aliens, but for like solving complex problems, like becoming innovators. Right. And yeah, you know, we're very early on it right now. We've got, I think like 6 games that are in the rotation. Your kids will be some of the first in the world to play some of these games. And, you know, the vision is get to something where kids can enter when they're, you know, age probably 5 or 6 and start playing in this way and just kind of effortlessly, you know, learn about the world and learn the skills to solve complex problems. And then this is kind of like my crazy, crazy vision for it. But I think by the time they're like 13 or 14, they're ready to start getting in the world. It's historically anomalous that we keep kids in school for so long till like, you know, you're really, if you read like the Greek history, you're like middle age by the time you're like 25, and we like pretty much keep kids in school until then. And so I think cognitively at 13 or 14, these kids are adults. And I think this idea that you just stay in school forever to learn is going to go away. I think their kids in the future are going to enter the world much faster, start building real skills. And, you know, you already see kids doing that. If they're interested in computers, if they work on the internet, it's a lot easier to do that. And I think that's just going to be a lot more common.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chrisman. My background is one of my backgrounds is anthropology. And I remember also hearing, you know, so all around the world, like in any traditional society or indigenous society, you're absolutely right. By 12 or 13, boys certainly have gone through the rite of passage to be considered men. And then they're, you know, out hunting and fighting and doing everything. And girls, obviously, also. I also read something where they said, like, if a boy could put his arm over his head and touch his shoulder, that meant that he had achieved the proportion of the body to be able to carry a rifle and fight. And so that was like, once your arm was that long, you were going off to war, you know, which is terribly sad. But what I mean is, right, that I totally agree with you, is that children or adolescents are far more capable at that age than we give them credit. And it's this concept of like neoteny, I think it's called, where you are extending childlikeness all the way through. And totally. I don't think it's serving us, you know.
I think definitely not.
University is also a continuation of that in many ways. If you don't know why you're going, you can just be kind of extending your time of not specializing or not like deciding what you're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's true. And then there's also a really, really sort of terrible thing that happens when you stay in school that long is you start confusing the map for the territory. Mm. Right. And so people who do a lot of school, they're sort of an academic, there's an academic version of problems that's not real, right? If you think of like the math problems, like the word problems you get in school, they're often kind of contrived and simplified. And that's not great because it gives you the illusion that you have an understanding of the world that you don't really have. And I think all kinds of problems come from that. It's a great documentary about the Vietnam War that I watched where, one of the challenges there was they had these guys that were like from Harvard and they were these super geniuses managing the war effort. And they thought they could kind of plan it out on paper and everything would work out. And they were wrong. And they just kept like pouring more resources into this problem. And, I'm not sure about the details of that exact story enough to say whether that's true or not, but it's something that you see pretty often when, people have these academic credentials. They often just like they're not in touch with the real world. I think anyone who's been a teacher in the system knows this, right? Because teachers that are in the system, you always have kind of like egghead consultants coming up with ideas and pushing them down into situations that are very different on the ground than they would seem like in a textbook. And so I think that's like this is one of the ways that the education system just perpetrates great evil unintentionally. It's like a noble goal to enrich people's minds. But when you separate it from contact with the ground, you often have these terrible unintended consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And speaking of that, I want to go a little bit into the game design, but first of all, just I want to kind of amplify what you're saying there, extend it, is that what do you kind of think about K-12 and higher ed and how technology's impacting that, COVID's impacting that, just the way that like economics of the world and the way the jobs are going to affect that. What's your kind of prediction of what's going to happen there?
I think in the long run, every kind of cognitive skill is going to move to the internet. So I think if you're like a local school, then you want to focus on things that can only be done in person, because anything that can plausibly be done on the internet is going to be done better on the internet, just because in synthesis, we call them OODA loops, right? So your ability to act and get feedback and adjust and iteratively improve is just so much faster on the internet. And so for my kids, it's like, I'm just not going to bother with like the school of like teaching them math and how to read and even like computer science, of course. It's like these things are just going to be learned on the internet. And so I think there could be something really interesting where we sort of have a return to childhood, where you can kind of set up physical spaces for kids that are more playgrounds or more exploratory and don't worry about the like sitting in the desk. They can learn what they need on the internet. And I think that's in the long run, I'm almost certain that's going to happen. I think you're seeing that more and more now. I get a chance in my job to speak with a lot of people who have kind of unlimited means to do whatever they want for their kids. And this is the people who have unlimited means, like that's the way that they're thinking about it. There's just a separation of the physical in-person space from the cognitive. So I think that's going to happen. I think one thing that maybe a lot of adults now don't understand if they're not very internet savvy is the kids will make friends on the internet that will be just as close as their friends in real life. And we already see this in synthesis, right?
Definitely. And through COVID, like I'm always talking about my kids in Minecraft on every episode, but the poor audience, but like my kids have friends online and they literally don't know their real names, what state they live in, nothing, but they are really close. I mean, I don't know how emotionally close, like emotional support, but they're certainly close in terms of collaborating and problem solving. And then now they have this whole, group of friends from synthesis with a common experience. And as a parent, it does take a mind shift, right? Because we have a certain way that we all define friendship. And so now they're redefining friendship on their own terms. And I think it takes some letting go on parents' part to kind of accept that as being real. Do you know what I mean? But oh, yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that because it makes me feel validated that it is real.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've experienced this in my own life. Like I just went to Miami recently to visit Ana Fabrega, who's our chief evangelist at Synthesis, and Anthony Pompliano, who's our lead investor. And I didn't realize until I got there, I was like, I've actually never met these people in person before. And they're the, you know, some of the most important people in my life. And, you know, just never met in person, been working together for, you know, over 6 months, you know, felt like, you know, they're some of my closest friends, feels like I've known them for decades. But yeah, really just got to know them in person. So we tweeted that, and someone on Twitter was like, you know, I'm getting married next weekend, and one of my groomsmen I've never met in person before.
Wow. that's incredible. Yeah, that is another level. Wow.
So yeah, these kids, I mean, they're the luckiest kids ever to grow up. They'll have friends, you know, from all over the world by the time they're 18, you know, ready to leave the house or whatever. They'll have networks. I just think they're going to get started in life a lot faster. They're not going to have to put off their life until, you know, until graduating college. And I think as a result, they're going to do incredible things at a younger age. And, you know, I think we'll look back on this time in history and think, you know, it's just going to seem crazy to us. And like, why did we ever lock kids up like that? Why did we think why do we think so little of them?
I agree. Absolutely. So tell us, let's jump into game design a little bit. So you were saying, like, for example, a lot of people are used to using something like Khan Academy. It's like a little bit gamified, you know, it scaffolds you through math. It's adaptive-ish. And you know, my kids, that's all the kids in our school. That's what they've learned math on. They're all doing great. They've won math, Olympiad, everything. So, but Synthesis is not teaching like core academic subjects. It's teaching something completely different through its game design. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the idea is complexity. So when I met Josh, I remember I looked at the kind of rules of the game that the kids were playing and, looked at the setup and I was like, this is just, you know, really, this is really complex. Like, is it just because you have like kind of rocket engineers kids in here that they're into this?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, no, kids were like this when I was at the low income school in Vegas. Like, kids just crave complexity and we don't give it to them. And I've thought a lot about that over the intervening years. And I think that is true. Like, the so little of life is procedural, like math is, where you can just kind of like, more some math is like this, where you can follow a set number of steps. Mostly problems are complex, and that's why you have the problem of like consultants kind of thinking they know what to do that applies across all these, you know, different situations on the ground that often they have their own complexities, their own little wrinkles to them. And so what Synthesis is designed to do is get the kids used to dealing with complexity. So complex problems don't have a right answer. There's no one who can tell you. We don't even know. When we design the games, we don't know how to play them to win. The kids figure it out. And so that's what a complex problem is. It's like you can continue innovating and trying new approaches and getting sort of infinitely better at it. Whereas like something like a math problem or like a multiple choice test in school, you can get like a perfect 100 and kind of be done there. And so the idea is, yeah, give kids these unbounded complex problems and let them practice solving that. And you learn the kind of meta skill of solving problems. And that's something, if you think about it, is just not done at all in schools. I mean, if your school has like projects to do, then that's like kind of the closest thing. But I think even Synthesis even goes beyond that, because the competition element ratchets things up like another level. So it's really focusing on the level of thinking and the level of communication that you need to have to solve problems. The competition is helpful there, is if you do like a creative project, it's kind of like, you know, anything could be, any answer could be correct, right? Whereas when you have the competition, you might think that you have this really great strategy and this really great thinking, but then you get smashed by the other team and you have to go back and be like, oh, okay, what happened there? And that can be tough, especially because we get a lot of kids from like the quote unquote gifted community, and they're just used to getting everything right and succeeding at school. And the first time they get smashed, they're like, it's shattering. like, oh my gosh, I'm not as smart as I thought I was. But I would argue that's a really great thing to happen to you at a young age, because you can just start dropping the ego that's associated with being good at school and get to like actually improving your thinking, which is an extremely important thing to do, and something all of us are going to have to do throughout our lives. Like, I'm 37 and I'm not done finding holes in my game or errors in my thinking. So the sooner we can get kids on that idea, the better.
Wow. I love so much of what you just said there. And when you say that kids crave complexity and that school doesn't give it to them, it makes my heart hurt. Like, it makes me feel ashamed. Do you know what I mean? That we as a society do that to them. It's
the opposite of what most people think. Like, we tend to think, I see this everywhere with children, anything that's sort of designed for children. It's like, well, we try to make it as simple as possible. We dumb it down. A lot of people don't speak to their kids with adult language, right? And their language gets stunted as a result of that. And we use, very simple, like primary colors and that kind of thing.
And too many of them.
Too many of them. Exactly. It's just we have this weird idea of childhood, which is maybe it was good, right? I think when Disney started doing their thing, we didn't have this idea of childhood as magical. And I actually think that's like quite a good idea, right? But maybe we've gone a little bit too far in our kind of like worship of all things childhood. And, I think there are certainly areas where you grow things up a little bit, make them more complex. They respond to that, right? Kids know when things are too simple and they get bored. If you watch them play a video game and they consistently beat the video game, they'll put it down. Like, they like that challenge, right? They can feel when they are improving their skills.
Right. That zone of proximal development.
That's right. Yeah. When we started Synthesis, I remember asking the kids how it compared to like Call of Duty, and they were like, oh, we like this more. And I was shocked by that. And they were like, you can feel your brain working on this. So, it's like those games are fun, but you're kind of repeating the same thing over and over. Synthesis always changes, always keeps you guessing. Mm-hmm. That's by design. That first game Consolation, if your kids were in the early cohorts too, we've been like this from the beginning. But you start playing the game and you start figuring it out. And right when they know how it works, we are like, okay, let's play again. And we change the rules behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's so cool. It just really keeps everybody on their toes.
So that is one of the most important skills to succeed in the future, because the world's changing so fast right now. We just, to give you an example, to just show this is not just like an academic concept, but we just raised money for Synthesis, right? And the traditional way you would do this is you'd go to a bunch of venture capitalists, and there's really like not that many of them. And they raise money from, big like pension funds and that kind of thing. And then they dole it out to startups. And so they're kind of like middlemen, right? And they say that they can help you and all that. We'll give you advice. We'll help you if you're in trouble or whatever, but basically it's just money. And so what we did instead is, and I think you probably found us on Twitter, so you know about this. It's like we hired Ana Fabrega to be our chief influencer, chief evangelist. And so she tweeted about the company, and that got us to, about $1 million in annualized revenue within like 2 months just from her tweeting. And then so we went out for investors. We were like, okay, well, let's find people who are, who have audiences on Twitter of like intellectual parents who might be into this. And so we raised money from a bunch of them, and then they tweeted about it, and then we grew even more. And so then the most successful one of those is this guy, Anthony Pompliano, who's built a Twitter following of almost 1 million people tweeting primarily about Bitcoin. And so he's made his audience a bunch of money. They trust him. And, when he tells them about this education startup that he thinks is the future, we drive all this traffic to us. And the traditional VCs are just and they're used to this game where they have all the leverage, right? They're holding all the cards. And now the rules of the game have changed. And so if you're an entrepreneur now, everyone's still going to these VCs for money. And I would argue there's a combination of factors, which is like individuals having this huge distribution where they can actually help your company. And then they can raise money from individuals through these things called rolling funds. And so they're much more powerful. And the VC game is, it's dying, right? But they don't know it yet, or they don't want to admit it yet. And a lot of entrepreneurs will still go raise from VCs. And I think if you do that, you're at a tremendous disadvantage. And this is just like in the last like 2 years, the rules of the game have changed. And if you can understand that, if you can understand the kind of underlying explanation for how things work, then you can notice when the rules change. And when the rules change, your strategy changes completely. All right. Not just like a little bit. It usually changes completely. So that's one of the reasons in Synthesis, we like to design the games ourselves so that we can keep kind of throwing you in the deep end. Our goal is like, as soon as you feel like you're figuring it out, to, you know, throw a wrench in the works and make you have to figure it out again. Because I really think that's the core skill, because I don't think the world is going to change less for our kids when they grow up. I think it's going to change faster. And so the better they are able to adapt to change, the more the future will belong to people who are most rapidly able to adapt to change. Like I really believe that.
I agree. I often talk about, this is not mine, it comes from Martha Beck, who's a professional coach. She just came out with a great book called The Way of Integrity. And she writes about the hero's journey a lot. And she makes a metaphor of like, and she, I mean, she's been talking about this for more than a decade, but that if you imagine like a tsunami, like that tsunami coming in right in Indonesia, and you see it just take out like everything that's fixed on the beach, and you can use that as a metaphor for like all the major institutions that we grew up with, right? You know, the church, the school, the government, blah, blah. And, or like you're saying, the VCs and, you know, this wave is like coming in like, rah, just like taking it all out. But if you're a surfer, which I know that you are, Crispin, you can like, if you just like get on your surfboard and you go far enough out, you just end up like going over the tsunami as it's rolling in, and you're able to survive because you're really nimble and you can just, you know, change in like direction and creatively respond to whatever's in front of you. And I've had that image that she's talked about in my mind for, you know, a decade, because I feel like it's been like that for a decade, right? And it's only accelerating. Like you said, it's exhausting though, Crispin. I mean, are our kids going to just be constantly like insecure, you know, like, oh, the next change is coming? I mean, I feel like it can be tiring.
Well, I mean, our motto at Synthesis is embrace the chaos,
yeah,
right? So the typical education system is designed for a static world, right? It's fundamentally pessimistic, because the fundamental belief is like, this is as good as it can get, and you should study what we know and take information from the authority, because this is the way things are. And that's not going to work anymore, because the world is just changing so fast. I mean, we're at a crazy point in humanity where I think, especially, you know, if you're a parent right now, even when you grew up, things did not change that quickly. Now the pace is sort of wild. So we're used to living in both kind of worlds. And I think our kids, you know, are going to be, they're going to have grown up in a world that's changing much more rapidly, and they're going to take change for granted. And, you know, I think this part of the mission of Synthesis is just like, let's get kids used to embracing the chaos, to not be afraid of change, to be ready for that. Because I think, you know, if you're a parent in like the 50s, then you may have been able to have a plan for your kids. Like, okay, you should be a doctor or a lawyer and go graduate school when you're 30, and, you know, you'll be okay and a respectable member of the community. That's going to be a terrible plan now. You can't do any planning at all. The world's just going to be so much different. So what you can do is, you know, this is the problem we're trying to solve with Synthesis, is get your kids used to handling complex situations that change very quickly. Education for adaptability is going to be crucial. And with all that said, my two kind of educational passions are the new, like the physics approach and the complex systems approach and the classics. So I read a lot of Greek literature to my kids. I think it's important to study the things that haven't changed for thousands of years. But that option has always been available to people. The option to, educate your kids for chaos, I don't think has been available before. And I, you know, I hope that Synthesis can do a great job of that. So these kids are just, you know, ready to adapt and ready to take that on.
Yeah. I think you guys are doing a great job. Great. So good. So my last question that I always ask is about a metaphor, Chrisman. So if you can think of a metaphor for like what you're doing, what Synthesis is doing compared to kind of what that conventional education is, what would your metaphor be?
That's a great question. There's one that I use a lot that's kind of unorthodox, which is my kids are in jiu-jitsu as well, which is jiu-jitsu is just came to prominence very recently because they had this thing called the Ultimate Fighting Championship in the 90s, where they pitted all the different martial arts styles against each other so they could see what's the best. And the answer is jiu-jitsu, right? The guy who won the tournament was an average size guy. He's 180 pounds. And he came up against a monster, a guy who's 260 pounds and an Olympic wrestler, right? And the 180-pound guy, average-sized guy, won against the really well-trained heavyweight. And so the world goes, what is going on here? Here's a superior system. Now everybody trains that way. And, you know, I think there's this question of like, you know, if you're just playing games, like why do Synthesis, right? And so the analogy is my kids, I have two boys. They love to wrestle. They wrestle all the time, right? But they don't really get better at it from just playing around. They get a little bit better at it. But when you get them in jiu-jitsu, they learn the techniques, they learn the system, they learn a discipline where the techniques build on each other. And so there's training and they get much, much better. It's not enough to just rely on your instincts if you want to solve complex problems. It is somewhat true that humans are born creative problem solvers, but that will only get you so far. If you have the training, if you adopt the techniques, like the system that that people have developed before you and used to solve problems, then you can become much, much more effective. And so that's the analogy that I like to use for Synthesis. As far as the existing system goes, I mean, I think it'd be probably too politically incorrect to make to make analogies there. I wouldn't want to say precisely what I think about it. But, you know, suffice to say, I don't think that system will be long for this world. I mean, I think the one people use as a factory is probably right. So I think you can come up with even worse analogies, but I think a factory is good enough. And, you know, the thing about factories is they're designed to set you up to just do the same thing repeatedly over and over again. And as we've already talked about, that's not going to work in the future.
Yeah, definitely not. Okay. Thank you so much. So I know that in the show notes, we're going to have all the ways to, you know, all the stuff, but where, if somebody wants to just go right now and enroll their kids in Synthesis, what is the URL that they should go to?
Yeah. Go to synthesis.is. That's the website. Yep.
Is. Okay.
And thank you so much for being an early customer and a facilitator. I mean, it's, one of the craziest things here is just, you know, you put this thing out in the world and then you attract people who are kind of willing it into existence, you know, by being the first to sign their kids up for something new or the first to try this like new kind of way of teaching. And so thank you so much for that. Like it's, we, you know, just very deeply grateful, for you and the people who are, you know, philosophically aligned with you and have joined us. So really appreciate it.
Awesome, Chrisman. Yeah, it's been such a ride. I was like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is awesome. And like, we just started doing it. And it's great to watch it grow and to watch it change and to just see, you know, I always love being part of a startup too. So that's like really exciting. So
that's awesome. Your kids will be OGs. We're working on some swag for the originals, the class of the 2020 cohort. So
awesome. Yeah. We're taking a break for the summer. Cause I just want to get them, like you said, like out in the woods. We're doing like, you know, what do you call it? Sleepaway camp and going to the lake and everything. But so I'm like, I don't want you guys to lose your cohorts because I know that you were one of the first ones, you know, just want to have those like bragging rights. So
yeah. Awesome.
So yeah, thank you so much, Chrisman, for coming by. I'm sure the audience has learned a ton. You've got some really deep concepts there and some things that'll like blow out the brain to start thinking differently. So Really, really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the New Schools Podcast. Tell a friend. Previous episodes and show notes, including any books or websites our guests recommend, can be found at thenewschools.com. If you're a parent who is looking for a new school for your family, send us a message. We would love to help. We can answer questions, share the resources we have, and help you get in touch with people in your area who are on the same path, determined to provide their kids with the best education. It's wildly important work. Thank you for doing it, and we'll see you next time.